your friends in Christ. The book of Job is one of the great, one of the world's great literary masterpieces. So this couched in very beautiful, pictorial, and poetic language. In content, it is timeless. It depicts the very basic needs of man. Even the time of the patriarch, the time of the golden era of Solomon, or the gloom of the celebrated Roman peace in the time of our Lord, or for that matter, in the very serving, closing years of the 20th century. Some have looked upon Job as a great teacher on the problem of human suffering and pain, so commonly a part of man's experience. But a careful reading of the book of Job understands that its purpose is not to solve the mysteries of pain and suffering, even though much physical suffering and great mental and soul distress are so instantly woven into its basic fabric. The problem which the writer could rapidly depict is simple man's relationship with God. Or to put it more succinctly and crassly, Job's 23 years piety deserves the world. Goodness deserves recognition. A plea which he makes emphatically in the face of the inhuman accusations of his three friends, about which our lecture just spoke. Namely, confess the evil that you have done. You have been able to hide it from man, but now it has been exposed by God. From witness your present suffering. Your suffering underlines that you are an evil man. What have I done to deserve this? It's not only an ancient text, but also a very modern text. Or to put it in another way, which you and I have heard it not infrequently, I've tried to be so faithful to God. Why does he do this to me? I suspect that those of you who are victims of this term after being in the parish for some months have heard it during the time of your victory. And certainly it is a cry which you and I will hear again and again in the days of our ministry and the years of our health. And then we start to think, perhaps some of us may also have echoed this painted cry of grace when God's hand lays so heavily upon us. Why does God do this to me? And why does he wait so long to remove this burden from me? Experiences such as this remind us that you and I too are such in blood. That we really are too comfortably in need of God's forgiving grace and its sustaining strength. In the closing chapters of Job, we note that Job hears the voice of God, reminding Job so graphically and majestically that God is beyond human thinking. Sometimes read that God has to say to Job, beginning at chapter 38, please to the place. And please note, how Job just can't wait for God to finish. He breaks in and says, I'm wrong, God, forgive. God calls to Job to entrust himself completely to him. He is not only the all-powerful, the all-wise, the almighty creator of the universe, but also, thank God, merciful and gracious, forgiving iniquity and sin. The psalmist reminds us, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I set my hope. For with the Lord is steadfast love, and with him is plenty of redemption. And in the fifth chapter, James reminds us, you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You and I have been so richly blessed to be purposely members of the family of God, to live in the loving and guiding care of a gracious and all-wise merciful Heavenly Father. May your and my life be lived out through the power of God's Spirit working in us, and may it be a hymn of ongoing praise and gratitude to him alone, as Lord, we forgive him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.